Let's stand and sing this morning.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Sing it again.
Before the Lord, we know that He's the only one that could do that for us, friends. Amen. It's good to be with you. Good to see everyone. And I'm just looking forward to a wonderful time in the service today. Got a long list of songs here, a lively list. Amen. I'm praying that you'll just jump right in with me and give it your all. And let's get what God has in store for us this morning. Amen.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share, but rejoicing there will be when the saints shall ride, headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Savior in the sky. just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change within will be. All the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior. Heavenly host, we begin to see, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Savior in the sky, and oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah. Well, I'm getting ready to leave this over. Of pearl, my record ride, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave. Oh, sing it again, church. I'm getting ready. Oh, you ready? I'm getting ready for those gates of pearl. Well, I'm keeping my record ride, watching both day and night. To leave this world, well, I've been changed. Well, I've been reborn now. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Well, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. Been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, I've been changed from this creature that I once was, and redeemed is now my name. And I've been changed. Well, I've been reborn now. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. And though my sins were as scarlet, well, they're white as snow. I was bound, but today I am free. Hallelujah. I was lost in the darkness, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, I've been changed. Yeah, I've been reborn now. All my life has been rearranged. And what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. And when at last in His presence I stand above, He will wipe every tear from my eye. And I thank Him for giving a wretch like me a new hope beyond the sky. Yes, I've been changed. I've been reborn now. All my life has been rearranged. And what a difference it makes. my life, praise God, has been changed. Well, I've been changed. Yeah, I've been reborn now. All my life has been rearranged. All my life, praise God, has been changed. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born, I've had a new birth. Yeah, gonna sail away by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church, I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born, I've had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my work, I'm in this church. Hallelujah. Oh, I pray you're in this church, friends. Amen, amen. Let's sing that song. I'm taking back everything the devil stole from me. Amen. Well, I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Well, I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Taking back my song, my dance, my joy, and my peace. I'm taking it back. Everything that the devil stole from me. Now one day old King David came home to a city called Ziklag. And while he was gone, the enemy came and stole everything he had. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. He made up in his mind, said, I'm on my way down to his camp, and I'm taking what's rightfully mine. Devil! Well, I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Well, I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Taking back my song, my dance, my joy, and my peace. Well, I'm taking it back. Everything that the devil stole from me. We all know that Satan only comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I must admit that there have been times when he's taken away my joy. But I'm serving notice on the devil today. His kingdom is under attack. 'Cause I'm on my way to, and I'm taking my property back. Well, devil, I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back my song, yeah, my joy and my peace. I'm taking it back. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole. Let's sing this again. We all know that Satan only comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. And I must confess that there have been times when he's taken away my joy. Oh, but I'm serving notice on the devil today. His kingdom is under attack. 'Cause I'm on my way down to his camp, and I'm taking my property back. Oh, devil! I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Well, I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back my dance, hey, my joy, oh, my peace. I'm taking it back, everything that, oh, sing it again, taking back. Well, I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. taken back everything that the devil stole from me. Taking back my song, my dance, oh, my joy and my peace. Taking it back, everything that the devil stole from me. One more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley I've got to go through, and I'm leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, and I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hands. Hold it to his nail-scarred hands. Sing it again. One more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley I've got to go through, and I'm leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, and I know he'll understand. I'm going through, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hands, holding to his nail-scarred hands.
Amen. I guess we don't have the words in the dictionary for that one. We'll have to get those pulled up sometime and try it again. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. He's faithful anyways, ain't he? Praise your Lord Jesus. Amen. We'll take our needs to the Lord. Musicians, you can transition there and play something softly for us as we make these known. And we'll just mention these so that y'all can be mindful of them. We'll keep Brother John Harwell in your prayers. He's not feeling well. Certainly appreciate Brother John for coming out and helping assist the brothers. And Sister Chanel and I were having a work day and we just had a wonderful gathering of brothers that were just did a fantastic job getting things ready for us, and we are certainly thankful for that, and certainly feeling for Brother John there. We'll keep him in our prayers. And if you'd be remembering Sister Sarah Buchanan, her two sisters, am I right there, brother? She's got two sisters, and both of them are not feeling well, so we're going to be praying for them. And we're praying for Sister Carrie Whitlock, who's not with us today. And also for Sister Tina and her situation. I want to remember the Drum family in prayer. And also want to remember Sister Connie Hughes and everything she's been through with her ordeal. And that's all I have before me at this time. If you would be remembering those in prayer, amen. And if you have a special need on your heart, you can make it known to the Lord. Brother Jeremy Claybill, would you take the time to bring these needs to the Lord for us, brother?
Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's just with grateful hearts, Lord, that we approach you once again, Lord. We give you thanks for the opportunity, Lord, to gather in your house, Lord, to worship you, Lord. Father, we take all of these needs, Lord, and we lay them at the cross, Lord, where you have made provision for us, Lord. Every need, Lord, spoken, unspoken, great or small, Lord, you're mindful of each need that we have, Lord. So we give these petitions to you, Lord, and we say thank you. We thank you, Lord, for providing for us. We thank you, Lord, for healing that you've given. Lord, we thank you for the comfort that you provide in our times of distress. Lord, we thank you for the direction that you give us through your word and through the ministry. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would come now and that you would be lifted up, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, just take pleasure in the worship that we give you this morning, Lord Jesus. May we just put aside every weight, Lord, everything that would distract us, Lord, and let us just lift you up a little higher. Lord God, I pray that you would use the minister this morning, Lord, to speak to us. You know each need, Lord. And Father, no doubt the minister has sought your mind, Lord. And I pray that he would just be a tool in your hands, Lord, that you would speak to each need that we have, Lord. We come with open hearts, Lord, just asking, Lord, that you fill our cups once again this morning. We love you, and we pray that you be glorified in all that's done. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Let's sing. You may have your seats. Let's sing that song haven't done that one here. I think Good, Good Father. We're going to try that this morning. Just before Sister Grace makes her way to sing for us, let's try this song.
Well, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. You provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, it's a love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me, oh, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
I was the broken vessel in your hand. You looked beyond the hurt and made me whole again. Touched my heart and made it new. Now my whole life I surrender, lay it down before the mender. Lord, I give my heart to you. Love it sought before I knew you has brought me near to where you are. Now I live to praise you. Ever may I praise you, healer of my heart. Nothing compares. Faithfully sought me and called me your own, and you made a way to bring my wandering heart back home. Healer of the broken.
Praise him, don't we? sing this song. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be, blessed be your name. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name. Again, blessed be. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name. Let your people proclaim. Stand and sing with me. You are holy, yes. You are holy, God. As we lift up your name and give glory, glory to your name. Blessed be, blessed be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name. Let your people proclaim, you are holy. You are holy. As we lift up your name and give glory, oh, glory to your name. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name. Blessed be. Blessed be, blessed be your name.
How many are glad to be in church today? Amen. Amen. Let's open up in a word of prayer this morning. And we want to remember all the folks that are not here today. We have several and several that are traveling. And so let's bring all of our requests before him today. Let's bow our heads together. As the musicians play softly, let's just think about this now as we approach him this morning. And this is not just anyone we're approaching, but this is the God of creation. He's the one who's able to move mountains. He's the one who's able to put stars in place. And he's mindful of you and what you're going through today. Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence today, it is our honor, Lord, and our great privilege to come before your throne of grace and mercy. And to present our petitions before you, Lord, believing that you hear us. With all of the many voices in the world, with all of the many great things that are taking place, yet you can hear our voice when we speak to you in faith. And so, Lord, we pray now in the name of Jesus that you would just come on the scene, Lord, and minister, Lord, to each and every heart and soul today, especially those who are hurting, especially those who are recovering, especially those, Lord, that are reaching out to you this morning. And we pray in Jesus' name that you'd have mercy upon your people today. Forgive us of anything, Lord, that might be a hindrance to the moving of the Holy Spirit. We want to be pure before you. We want to lift hands, Lord, without wrath and without doubting. And we ask now that you would just move on the scene, Lord, and break the bread of life to us. Help us, I pray. Help us, Lord, in your own way, because you always know what's best. And we give you this service, and we give you this day in Jesus' lovely name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to ask you to take your Bible this morning. I got a couple of things I want to share. But while you're standing this morning, let's take your Bible. Musicians, thank you for your part this morning. We're going to go to Genesis, the 15th chapter here this morning. Genesis chapter 15. And we'll read the first 7 verses there. Genesis chapter 15. We greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. How many have it this morning? Amen. Amen. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." So Abraham's thinking on one level, God's thinking on an entirely different level. And in verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. From your origin to your destiny, I'm your God." And everybody said, Amen. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. Well, just want to say it's great to have everybody back. Good to have Sister Cindy back. Good to have the Ivies back. It's good to have Sister Lila here this morning. God bless you. And each and every one, may God bless you richly. And we appreciate you all being here today. Sister Lily is traveling today back from Canada. And I wanted to mention as well that Lincolnton, is gone to Arkansas, gone to work. And that's good. So he's out there. He's out there for a season, and he's going to be working with Brother Dale Shamel out here and his crew, and that's why he's not here. And I didn't get to mention it before he left. But that's where Lincolnton is, and so we want to pray that the Lord will deal with him out there and bless him in his labors. Also, as well, we have graduates every year. And I would really like you to let us know if you're graduating this year. And if you could let Sister Becky know, that would be great. And make sure that we get each one accounted for. Good to have the McCaffreys back here as well. We're away. Sister Jane, good to have you. Always good to have you here. And I wanted to mention a couple of things here this morning as well. Birthdays. I missed on April 6th when we have visitors. I don't usually have a PowerPoint. And it was the Drums' 46th anniversary. They're listening today. It was also Sister Becky's birthday. It was Nathaniel Reynolds' birthday, right? How old are you? 20. He's neither a teenager nor a man. He's nothing. This is that year when you're nothing. I apologize for missing that on April 6th. And it's also Brother Branham's birthday. That helps me. April 7th is Sarah Buchanan's birthday and Anna Jackson's birthday, right? God bless you both. And also April 8th is Rachel Pritchard's birthday, right? Sister April, God bless you. Sister April. Sister April was Crystal Johnson's birthday. Sister Crystal, God bless you. And Theo. Theo's birthday, wherever Theo is. There he is. How old are you, Theo? 12 years old. Wonderful. And the 13th is Lucas's birthday, Lucas Coffee. We appreciate Lucas. May 16th is the ladies' tea. And we have a sign-up that's going out, so you might want to make sure you remember that Saturday. And we always look forward to the ladies' tea. It's always great. And mark that on your calendars, okay? But respond to the sign-up when you get it, if you don't mind, because it's one of the ones that we need to have a head count. October 9th is the men's meeting. just to let you know that those dates. And then also June 13th is going to be a kids' day. And we have not had, last year we did not have adventures, and this year we're going to have a kids' day. And it's going to be an all-day event on Saturday on June 13th. And so we want you to mark that your calendar for that day. And we are reinventing or reorganizing adventures. Okay, so next year, Lord willing, we'll put in place what we normally did on adventures, and so you'll be made aware of that. But for this year, we're going to do Kids Day, and we're going to be up in Valle Cruces like we did several years ago and have the place up there, and we're going to be doing a family event, picnic event, and we're going to have some things for the kids there, so it's going to be a fun day. And then that Sunday, we're also going to have special kids service as well. So that'll be June 13th and June 14th, and it'll be focused on the kids. Is that good? All right, getting some nods over here already. So except no playing in the river this year because I only have one good knee. So we are looking forward to that. Mark that on your calendar if you don't mind. We're going to be doing that. And then next year we'll give you plenty of notice and we'll be working on adventures, slightly different format, but we'll be working on adventures for next year. Wanted to just give you this picture, and this is Karamojoa in Uganda. And this is a remote eastern part of Uganda and very primitive over there. And we received offerings through Vision Books for Bibles, for the donation of Bibles in different parts of the world. And so we have about 7 or 8 African nations that are receiving Bibles. And the very first one is this area in Uganda. And you had to remember now, many of these parts of the world, people never, ever get to own their own Bible. There may be a couple of Bibles in a church, but that would be a rare event. And so it's almost impossible for people in that part of the world to find one, and then also to be able to afford one. So it's a really precious thing for those people to get it. But this area, many of the traditions and customs and laws and history of the people were handed down orally for centuries and centuries. And so for them to have a Bible in their language like this is really a big thing. So when we received the funds, I got Brother Aaron, who looks after our mission work, and he's been working with Bible societies in different parts of the world to get Bibles into the hands of the people. It's a very efficient system when you know how it works. And so we're just really excited to be able to have these Bibles in distribution. So that's something that's an ongoing thing, just to let you know. We often are in the process of sending, or we take on the task of sending Bibles to people in that part of the world. So you're always able to participate in that. And if you want to give an offering for that, you're certainly welcome to do it anytime, because it is something once we establish the connection, we just need to contact those the Bible Society again, and they'll deliver free of charge anywhere in the nation that we ask them, and it's really great. So in Tanzania, for instance, we can specify and say, deliver so many Bibles here and so many Bibles there, and they do it free of charge, and it's really handy to be able to do it that way. So we're thankful for that effort. All right, everybody ready for the Word? Amen. All right, so I'm going to talk about faith this morning, and I couldn't come up with an elaborate, catchy title, so this is it. And I want to talk about faith in a kind of a maybe a little slightly different way. And I'm not going to be long. I'm not going to be complex about this, and I'm not going to be long. So I want you to focus, put your feet under the table now, and get your pencil ready, and let's talk about the subject of faith, because this is important. Amen. This is important for all of us. And, you know, we never, there are myths concerning faith. There are things that that are sometimes, you know, just inherent things that we believe, because we've been around church all of our life, and faith is a very common word. It's something that's talked about a lot. We talk about rapturing faith, which is really specific for believers in the end time, And we've talked about it a lot, mentioned it a lot. But we're never responsible for how people interpret things, right? You never. Sometimes it's amazing how people will report back to you what they heard when you preach a sermon. It's amazing how people will report back unusual things. It's kind of like the little girl who was in Sunday school. She got up to pray, and her teacher asked her to pray. And she did fine reciting the Lord's Prayer until she got to the end. She said, "And forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." So you're never responsible really for what people hear. But I'm trusting that the Lord will give us the right interpretation for all of this, because it is important. Now, I used to think, in my own understanding, I used to think that if we're living in the end and we're living in an age of rapturing faith, then I'm going to have to come up with it. I'm going to have to build rapturing faith within myself. That I'm going to have to do something in order to get more faith than what I have. And I often thought that. I also think, too, I asked myself the question, am I strong enough to believe what I need to believe? Am I where I need to be in order to have the right kind of faith? A lot of people assume also that, they may say, well, all people with faith are very confident and they're very sure of themselves. They don't have any doubts in God. They don't have any tremors within themselves. People who have real faith are really solid and really sound. And I find, as I began to look in the scripture, I found that that's really not true. That's really not true. And I'll show you this morning, Lord willing. And we'll see how far the Lord will take us this morning. Now, I chose this PowerPoint here because of this image. And I know my wife has been there. My wife and I have been in this library several times. And it is one of the most famous libraries in the world. It's actually one of the top 10 famous libraries in the world. Now, you may think libraries are not exciting, but this to me is one of the most exciting libraries in the world. Let me tell you why. This library is in the center of Trinity College in Dublin, Ireland. And it was built in the 1600s, 1622. It was built there. And it's called a mandatory deposit library, meaning that the country of Ireland said, if you publish a book, you have to give us a copy first. You have to give us a copy to put in the library, and then you can distribute the book on the market. And it's one of the only countries that has that law, but it is a law. So therefore, from the early 1700s, they collected books and manuscripts there from some of the most famous writers and researchers and scientists and doctors ever, musicians, poets like Shakespeare. They have all kinds of rare documents like that. As a matter of fact, this is a library where, oddly enough, you can't touch anything. You can't touch any of the books. You can't go in and pick them up and browse through them, because it may be the original writing of Shakespeare. Or it might be Erasmus's, theories and mathematics or whatever else. And Beethoven's works are in this library. So you can't just pick up the books and leaf through it, you know, or spill your coffee on it. Kind of wouldn't be real popular there. And so this library is, everything is behind glass. Matter of fact, you can only move through it. You can only walk through it and look at what's there. And they have glass cases on the floor where you can look in and see some of the original. I mean, it's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And the other thing that's there is the Book of Kells. And that is an old, ancient writing of the Bible with symbols on it. I'll show you a picture sometime. I have an image of the Book of Kells in my office there, because it is so fascinating, and it's written by clerics way back in the 1600s, and they have four copies of the Book of Kells in this library. So it's a very famous place. As a matter of fact, they shut it down after the fire at Notre Dame, because they realized, whoa, important buildings with important stuff in them can catch on fire. And so they figured, if this catches on fire, we are in trouble. So they shut it down, and they're doing multi-million dollar renovations in here just to protect it in case a fire breaks out, because it's that valuable, and the renovations cost millions and millions and millions of dollars. There are all kinds of people around donated to that particular cause. So, you say, what's the point? Brother Barry, you go on and on about things like that. The point is that there's something good about the ancient things. All ancient things and people are not always good. But there are some things that are worth preserving, okay? And so when we look in the scripture is a great example of this because God saw to it that we would have preserved for us the stories and the exploits of his people. And we learn from that, don't we? We learn from that. And it's really a wonderful thing. And that's what we find in the book of Genesis here. Now, I found this statement, and I've been revisiting some old statements of Brother Branham about things here. This is 1962, and he defines faith as a sense. He said, now God gave you these five senses, see, touch, hear, smell, feel, taste, right? Six. God gave you those five senses to contact your earthly home, but that has nothing to do with God. That has nothing to do with God. They say there's three kinds of people in the world, right? People who can count and the people who can't. Brother Branham said, now that has nothing to do with God, your five senses. But how did you get them? How did you get those five senses? God gave them to you. God invented your body with the five senses, right? That's how you got them. But that has nothing to do with God. He says there isn't any one of them that will declare God, not one of them. Faith is something different. So if we got the first five from God in his creation, how do we get the sixth one? From God, right? Come on. If we got the five from God, the sixth sense also comes from God, doesn't it? You can't go out and get a sense of hearing. You can't go out and get a sense of smell. You can't do that. You gotta have it. And in the same way, you can't go out and get the sense of faith. You gotta have it. God's gotta give it to you. And when you have it, faith is the sixth sense which contacts God. You can only contact God by the sixth sense, which is faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the only way you can contact God is with this sixth sense. And the only way that you get this sense is from God. How many would believe that? Absolutely. So we find in our text here that Abraham believed God. And I've been focusing on this word believe here. And you know, naturally it's simple in the English language. It's a little more complex in the way that God meant it. So let me illustrate. And the best way I can illustrate today is with some photos, okay? So you'll be able to get the picture. And I want you to leave today, if nothing else, I want you to leave today with the picture of what believing actually is. And in the Hebrew, believing is amen. That's easy. Easy for us to remember. So we want to amen the word. Amen. We want to amen like Abraham did. We want to amen like Moses did. We want to amen like Brother Branham did. We want to believe God's word. And it means a number of different things. It means like the weight-bearing structure. And I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. The load-bearing wall in your house is one that is intended to carry the heavy load, right? When we find out where that load-bearing wall is, you can do anything else with all the other walls, but that's the wall that keeps everything straight and square. It holds up everything. And so this idea of a pillar is a part of this word, the meaning of the word. It also means that somebody would be carried by a nurse. Either a father or a mother would pick up a child and carry that child. Now, the idea is, the image is such that you would not, the child would not have one foot out. You know, the child would not partly jump in his parents' arms, but the child would wholly jump into the parents' arms, and the parent is holding the full weight of that child. That's the meaning of the word. We also know that it means that something is made firm. It means that something is lasting. It's durable. It means to trust in something, kind of like something that you know is absolutely the truth and believe in. And it's also a reference for something very, very sure like a mason's line. So in the Old Testament, when they built a wall, when they restored in the time of Nehemiah and Ezra, then naturally a stonemason is going to pull a line. He's going to lay a foundation, he's going to lay a footer, and then he's going to stretch a line. Anybody ever seen or built a wall like that? And the stonemason will have an anchor on one side and an anchor on the other side. There's no wall yet, but he'll pull that string. They have these special strings, and he'll pull that string really tight, and he'll put a little torpedo level on that string, right? You seen it? And anywhere he slides that level across that line, it's got to be perfectly level, and he's going to line that first course of bricks up with that line. And everything depends on that line. And that's the solid thing. It's not something like a guitar string, you know, which can be moved back and forth, but it's pulled right to the tightest point. And that mason is going to skew everything. He's going to build everything against that line. That's his marker. All I'm telling you is that that's what the Hebrew meanings of this word believe actually are. So in other words, it's something solid, something that you can trust on. Let's look at the first image. The first image is something like this. That if you've got raging waters and you need to cross the river, you want to have something solid to jump on. You want to have something that you can put your foot on. And it's got to be something that is not going to be movable. You know that when you get out on this rock, you're not going to need a safety net. You don't need a backup. If I can make a jump and I can get on that rock, I'm solid. I'm safe. It's going to be okay if I can get my foot on that rock. And that's the idea. It is the thing that I can count on. I know that that rock is not going to slide down the river. I know that that rock is not going to go anywhere. If I can jump on that rock, it's going to be a solid place that I can put my foot. Are we okay? Now, Brother Branham referred to this. He alluded to this many times. Watch what he says. And this is the message called The Power of the Devil. Night after night, standing on the platform before thousands of people around the world, critics are saying it's this, it's that, the other. In other words, they're disagreeing with him. Witch doctor is trying to throw spells on you and challenge you to a duel and things. Never one time, by the grace of God, has one speck of fear ever hit my heart. That's quite a testimony, isn't it? Not one time, by the grace of God, has one speck of fear ever hit my heart. Not one time. Why? He said he would take care of me, and I believe him. If I get scared, I'd run. So I need you to think about the flip here in Brother Branham's language here. He said, I'm not afraid because he said he would take care of me, and I believe him. So in other words, Brother Branham's faith is not based on himself. Brother Branham's faith is stepping on that rock because that's the thing that's solid. That's the thing that's going to hold me up. That's the thing that's going to get me through. Not my ability here, not my strength, not my lack of fear, not my lack of doubting, none of that. Not lack of opposition. That's not why I'm successful. I'm successful because God said something, and I'm jumping on that. And I'm going to stay right here. And as long as I stay right here, then they're going to have to deal with God, not me. I was in Germany several years ago, and I met somebody. I was in Norway, and this person was from Germany. And they were happened to be in that tent where Brother Branham says that people on the front row came in. They were like witches and soothsayers, and they had bones and things, and they were crossing and going through chants. And they summoned up a storm inside the church. And there was sounds of lightning and thunder and everything else inside the church. And this gentleman was in there when that happened. Now, Brother Branham tells the story. You can go back and read it. And this gentleman told me, he was an older gentleman, and he told me, he said, when I looked around, he said, I was near the outside edge of the tent, and he said, I stepped out for a minute, and I looked out, and he said, it was sunny and calm. There was nothing stormy outside. He said, I went back in again, and here was the sounds of thunder and wind and the tents flapping and all the other things that are going on around me. And he said, I happened to look over at Brother Branham, and Brother Branham was standing on the platform. He's kind of like this, and just standing on the platform, didn't do a thing, wasn't fazed at all. He wasn't, you know, hollering at the people. People were running around. People were shouting. People were afraid, and he didn't do a thing. And finally, he said, Brother Branham just raised his hand and had everybody bow their heads in prayer and bound that spirit. And he said, that thing just went right out through the tent door, and those people on the front row went right after it. Why wouldn't a man be afraid in a situation like that? You know why? Because he's got his foot on the right thing. This is not up to Brother Branham. It's not Brother Branham's strength. Are you hearing me? This is what Brother Branham believes in, that God has made a promise. God has given him a rock to jump on. But I tell you, he said, when Jesus Christ anoints you, you're not made of running material. And it's not the rock of Gibraltar. It's the rock of ages. You climb up on that rock of ages, and that's God's word. He said, take your position there and stand while the gates of hell is battling against it with this perfect assurance. He said that he who promised it will not fail, will never fail. That's faith. That's when you're not scared. So look at what his faith is in. Listen to what he's saying. I've got my faith in. It's not William Branham. It's not the church. It's not my understanding of the Bible. That's not it. It's not my exploits. It's not my prayer life. It's not anything like that. My faith is in the rock of ages. My faith is in Christ. And he jumps up on that rock. And as long as I'm standing there, he said, then things are solid. Then things are solid. And when Abraham had this amen experience in Genesis 15, 6 there, it says that Abraham believed God. So it's not a question of, am I strong enough here to fulfill this? Am I strong enough to carry this out? That's not it. Abraham is asking the question, is God able to see through what God has said? And Abraham chose to agree with that and amen it, A-M-A-N. He agreed with that and jumped on that and said, I believe that God is able to do what God says. It's not about Abraham. It's not about my ability here. It's what God has said. And that's the simple definition of faith. Can I go a little further? If you had to cross a river, which bridge would you rather use? Which bridge would you rather go over? We have some eloquent engineers here in this building. We have some people that are very capable in building a bridge and building structures. Imagine now if you had to cross this bridge, and you can know the bridge is there. You can agree that a bridge is there and it's well engineered. You can feel good about the bridge. You can feel good about the people who build it. But you amen the bridge when you step onto it and walk over it. I said you amen the bridge, A-M-A-N. You believe in the bridge when you step on it and you walk over it. That's when you believe that the bridge is good. It's not enough to agree with it. It's not enough to see it. It's not enough to have confidence in the builders of it. It's not enough to say, I think it'll hold me. It's only when you step on it do you really believe it. Think about this now. Because it's not your confidence in the bridge that holds you up. It's the bridge itself. Right? It's not your confidence in the bridge that holds you up. It's the bridge. Hey, this is so simple, it's not even funny. If I had my choice of which bridge I'd rather go over in a river, I'd rather take this one, wouldn't you? I'd rather take that one. And that's what Abraham saw. Abraham saw God making a promise. Abraham saw God expressing something. And to Abraham, it was rock solid. I have no problem amening that bridge. I have no problem amening what God said. I have no problem walking out on what God has declared. I believe it with all my heart. And for some reason unknown to us, God, who holds all righteousness, took an amount of righteousness and deposited it into Abraham's bank account simply because Abraham believed. Abraham had nothing in his hand. He gave nothing to God. He did no works for God. He just simply put his foot on that bridge and said, I believe I can get over to the other side walking on this bridge. And God said, I'm going to deal that man righteousness. I'm going to deposit righteousness into his account. That's not why Abraham did it, but that's what God did because he did it. Are we okay? Oh, saints of God, here's the queen of Sheba. She said to Solomon, it was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts. I heard about it and of thy wisdom. I heard about it. I believed it. You know, back in my country, I heard the reports. I saw it on the internet. I knew that you were doing this and something else. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, one half of the greatness of thy wisdom is not even told here. Here he says, she says, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. I heard about it, and I agreed with it. I was interested in it, and I was curious about it, and that's why I came. But I'll tell you, I amended it when I got here and saw what it is that you've done. And I will tell you this, that a Bible principle is simply true, that you don't really believe something until you experience it. And so this is not an intellectual acknowledgement of something. It's not good enough for you to sit there in church and say, well, I believe that God sent a prophet, and I believe the Bible is right, and I believe the message is true, and I believe there's a bride, and I believe there's a marriage supper, and I believe all those things are actually true, and they're scriptural, and I can find them in the Bible, and so forth. No, let me tell you, it's when you believe that God made that promise to you, and you step out on that, it becomes an amen to you. Are we okay? Okay. Let's go a little further. Here is Brother Andrew. Now, Brother Andrew Vanderbilt was a person who over years and years took Bibles into communist nations. He took them across the Iron Curtain and brought them in there for years and years. Sorry. I guess I should have used my tie clip microphone instead of trying to be an evangelist. And Brother Andrew brought hundreds of thousands of Bibles across into communist countries and gave them to believers over there and gave them to churches over there. And he carried them in this Volkswagen. That's how he did it. But ironically, he did not ever hide the Bibles in his Volkswagen. If you've ever read the book, God's Smuggler, he never hid the Bibles. He just put them on the seat. He put them on the back seat. He just stacked them up and put them in there. Every time he came to a border where there were soldiers, he prayed a certain prayer. He said, Lord, blind the eyes of those that can see and help them to miss what it is I'm carrying for you. And that's what he prayed every single time. And as a result, nobody ever stopped him because he had prayed that prayer. And they asked him about this whole thing because it was very dangerous. I know people that have done this kind of work, and they did it with the message, and they were caught. Some of them were tortured. Some of them were abused in a very bad way, an evil way, on the border because of their stand for the message. And they asked Brother Andrew about this, and he said, of course it's dangerous, but it's a lot more dangerous for all of us if we don't do it, if we don't carry out the commission. Even in a conquering army, there are casualties. Safety is not the issue when we look at the Great Commission. The purpose of the church cannot be to survive or even to thrive, but the purpose of the church is to serve. I thought, man, that's a great statement. That's a great statement for all of us. The purpose of the church is not to just survive and not just to avoid problems and not just to thrive and become successful in ourselves. That's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of our church is to serve God. The purpose of your life, you're put here to serve God. You're not here to serve the church. You're not here to serve one another. That's a part of it. But primarily, we're here to serve God. And that's the actual success that he had. You can tell he's not putting his faith in his own ability. He's putting his faith on that rock. God said, I'll look after you. I'll take care of you over in those countries there in the most dangerous environments. And that's what Andrew believed, and that's what he did over all of those years. So when you look at Abraham, he's believing something that is physically impossible. It is a promise that is not possible for him and Sarah to be able to take that promise. It's a humanly impossible promise that God gives to him. And Abraham, yet against hope, believes in hope. And even when his physical body is failing, his faith is rising. He's just believing and trusting in God to bring that to pass. And so therefore, Abraham, I mean, his whole life is a biography of this amen, A-M-A-N. His whole life is a story of faith. His whole life is a journey where, you know, he goes from one place to the other. In Genesis chapter 14, you know, the Bible says that Abraham leaves and he goes out from his country here. He's got no destination. He's got no map. He's got no guarantee. He's got only the word of God as his compass. And he heads out in that direction. He's got no hesitation. Even when God tells him to take Isaac up on top of the mountain and sacrifice him, there's no delay. It's remarkable how that Abraham agrees to that. And he takes Isaac and brings him up on top of the mountain. He doesn't need days to fast and pray, but he believes that whatever God tells him, he's already established that in his heart. He believes that whatever God tells him, that's the rock I'm standing on. That's the position I'm taking here, that if God says it, then it's got to be true. It's got to come to pass. And so he's believing something that's not humanly possible, in the same way that you and I have been given a promise about the change of our body. It's not humanly possible, right? Are you with me this morning? It's not humanly possible. It's not something I can accomplish. If I could change my body, I would. I was telling my wife a little while ago that I fear I'm looking more like my brothers all the time. And they don't look good. And I'll tell you what, if I could change my body, I would. If I could change myself and get out of here, I would. Sorry for all you young people that are not married yet. Joe, sorry. But, you know, I still would go. If I was going to vote one way or the other, I'd say... Bring all these young people, bring their wives and husbands over on the other side, and we'll fix it all up over there, because Brother Bram said you're going to get the right one anyway over there. I would vote for going early. I would vote for going now. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's what I would do. And this is what we have facing us. But remember, it's a humanly impossible promise. But how many believe it? How many believe in the millennium? How many believe in a marriage supper? How many believe you got a body waiting for you over there? You've never seen it. You got no roadmap to it. You got no evidence of that body over there. You got no evidence of a rapture. You got no evidence of, you know, physical evidence here today. You have no sense in your body that tells you that it exists. You don't know how to change your body because you've never done it before. And I got news for you. I don't know how to tell you to do it. If I could do it, I would. But it's a humanly impossible promise, but yet the promise is real to us, and we're willing to stand on it and willing even to die for it. That's a great thing. Oh, and you think about these examples of faith, and you look at Noah, and I wrote this down because I thought it was good. What made his faith, what made Noah's faith the amen, the A-M-A-N, is that Noah had no flood to reference. No rain had ever fallen in the way God described. No rain had ever fallen in the way God described. So Noah could not Google what was coming. Noah could not anticipate what was coming. He had no community of believers around him. And every single person in the world was moving in a contrary direction to Noah. Yet, for 120 years, he stayed at it. For 120 years, he kept it up. For 120 years, he knew that this was the thing that God wanted him to do. And he never was proven right until the first day it rained. Imagine 120 years preaching the same thing, no converts, and every single person in his world, except for his family, is moving in a different direction. And Noah's telling the world, we need to go this way. We need to go this way. There's a judgment coming. We need to go this way. And he's telling everybody in the known world which way to go. And everybody in the world is saying, no thanks, I will go the other way. And they're faced the other way. They're opposing Noah. They're resisting God. They're resisting God's promises. There's not a thing in the world that they're willing to comply with when it comes to Noah's message at all. They've got it out of their minds. They've got violence in their minds. They've got other things in their mind. And there's nothing there. Every single person in the world. We should be thankful for the believing community we have around us that believes like we do, that believes the truth the way we do. I will tell you this, that I know there are many churches that are, they're smaller, or maybe they're, in rougher conditions and they're not able to meet. And I know there are churches like that. I know there are people that are like that. I'm thankful that we have believers that will come together and agree on very basic and common things. We believe that God has spoken in this last day. And we believe that God has made the Bible a new book to us in this last day. And we believe that God has made certain promises and made them live in this last day. He's breathed into them and made them live in our time. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for an ear to hear what God has said. I'm thankful that you've got the same ear to hear the same thing. And it's not a cultish thing at all. It is rather, an expression of our faith, because our faith is a response to the promises that God has made. Our faith is a response to the actions of God. Would you agree? Our faith is an appropriate response to what God has given to us, and it's the rock that we stand upon. It's our amen to God. It is a thing that we believe that God has promised and is capable of doing. And even though I might doubt, I mean, you can imagine how Noah must have had days. You can imagine how Noah's wife must have had days where she looked at Noah and said, "Are you sure? Are you positive? I mean, the tithing account is pretty low here, and we got to buy more lumber." But Noah's got this inside. He's got this inside. He's got this inside thing. How many can say amen? He's got this inside thing that just somehow or another won't quit, because he knows that's the thing that God has said, and that's the rock I'm standing on. And so the waters can flow all around me, but that's the thing I'm standing on. And approximately 120 years, he kept building, and he kept building, and he kept building until God brought it to pass. As a matter of fact, your amen is the thing that stabilizes you. And we find the opposite of that in the scriptures, warned many, many times. Isaiah, "If you will not believe," God said, "surely you shall not be established. If you will not believe, surely you will not be established." And let me tell you something. Today is the day when you need to have your feet planted on something firm, right? In Deuteronomy chapter 9, we find this in Numbers chapter 14. We find it in a couple of other places here. That likewise, God is speaking to Israel, and he says, "When the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, 'Go up and possess the land which I've given you,' and you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God and believed him not." That's the same amen, but it's a negative. It's the reverse. He says, when you disregarded, when you disbelieve God's commandment, and when you disregarded God's works, and when you disregarded the display of the supernatural, when you disregarded that and disbelieved that, he says, then you rebelled. So you can imagine now the whole world, the way that God looks at it, and this may not be popular, but this is the way that God looks at the world that we live in. And we have a group of people who are on they're the amen people, the A-M-A-N people. And then we have the rest of the people that actually live in rebellion to God because they've rejected what God has done. And he believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. And we have access to the things that God has done now more than ever before, right? I mean, if somebody wants to hear what happened in those meetings, they can hear. If somebody wants to read what happened in those meetings, they can hear and they can read. If somebody wants to talk to people who were in those meetings, they can still talk to people who were there. And so it's not like we are without witness. It's not like we are without, evidence that God has done something great in our time. But for the world to say, like they said to Noah, "No thanks, we're going this way." And Brother Branham was going this way and saying, "God is going to do something. God's going to end it. God's going to wind it up. Every 2,000 years, something's going to happen. And there's only one place of safety, and that's in Christ. It's not in your denomination. It's not in your own idea. And it's not in your own view of things. It's in Christ. That's God's chosen place. That's God's provided place of worship. And that's the only place you got to be. And I'm pointing you to Christ. And I'm pointing you to Christ." And he did it over and over and over, consistently, over and over again. And that's what he did. And the world says, "No thanks, we're going to go the other way." God views the world as a world in rebellion to him. And we know how God deals with rebels. The Bible is not very kind to rebels. Brother Branham says, "My faith," he said, "is stayed on that solid rock. And there's nothing can ever harm when you're anchored to that place. There is nothing that can ever harm when you're anchored to that place. The storms may shake and they may batter us, but my anchor holds within the veil. Does God do things that we don't understand? Absolutely. Does God do things that are unusual? Absolutely. Does God do things that you'll never figure out on this side of eternity? Absolutely. But you know what? The reason you're still here, the reason that you still walk with Him is because you have an anchor that rests upon something more solid than your understanding of the events in your life. You have events in your life you can't interpret. You have events in your life that I can't interpret. There are the sovereign actions of a supernatural God who has ways that are above our ways, and we don't always understand them. And I believe on this side of eternity, we'll probably never have a clear understanding of why God does what He does. And if we did, we'd certainly share it. But I will tell you this, that even if I don't understand, and even if I don't agree, I still believe that God is true. I still believe His word is right. I still may not even think things are fair. But like I've told you before, the word fair does not exist in the Hebrew language because it's not a word that God uses. God doesn't say, well, man, they've had loss in their family. It's not fair that they have more, so I won't do that. No, that's not the way God looks at it. God does not deal with things on what's fair. What's fair for this nation? Iran has had enough of a pounding here. We're going to move on. That's not how God looks at it. Or poor Israel over there had been attacked. It's not fair that they have all the action against them. I'm going to pick on another country. God doesn't think that way at all. God's got a way. God's got a plan. He's already got it worked out. He already knows what's best. He's already got the end already figured out from the beginning. And so God knows and God performs His will. God does things. And even if we do not understand, because God never took a vote before He did anything. He never summoned man and his opinion before He did anything. God is sovereign. Like we know that God is sovereign in terms of predestination. And you may sit there and think, why did God pick me? Why did God choose me? What is it about me that God would want in eternity? And we may wonder about that and we may think about that. But let me tell you something, that's not your domain to think about. That is something that God already thought about. And there's not a thing in the world you can do today to change what God already decided long before you got here. I said there's not a thing in the world that you can do to change what God thought about and determined long before we got here. Because God wrote the Lamb's Book of Life, put it over there by the organ, and said, that's the way it is. And I put them on there. Nobody's going to take them off there. And I will not lose one of them. Every one of them will be there when it's all over. I know I'm being frightfully simple here this morning, but Brother Branham's telling us the storms may shake and batter us, but my anchor holds within the veil. I don't find anywhere where Brother Branham says, put your confidence in me, put your confidence in my ministry. I've been praying for people a long time. I've had lots of success. I've got the ability to know. I've got experience. Brother Branham doesn't say that. He says, my anchor holds within the veil. And when a man or woman has anchored against that rock, hallelujah, there ain't nothing ever going to shake you from it. There ain't nothing ever going to shake you from it. And what you need to do is put yourself in that sentence there and say, there ain't nothing ever going to shake me from what God has promised. Because I'm not standing on my own interpretation of this. I am rather standing on His promise, and I know His word is true. And Abraham caught that. Abraham caught that, and he knew that this is exactly the way things roll. Now, we find as we go over into the New Testament there, and those are Old Testament examples, and there's many, many, many of them. But we go over into the New Testament, and different language, but exactly the same principle. And we find Jesus using the same conversation and the same words as what Abraham used back in Genesis chapter 15. And we find when Paul wrote his epistles, all of them center, the whole doctrine of justification is all built on this word, amen. It's not amen in the New Testament because that's Hebrew. It's pistuio, which is here on your screen here. It's the conviction and trust to which a man is impelled by a certain inner and higher prerogative of the law of the soul. There's something inside of us now because we're on this side. We're in the New Testament side. There's a conviction and there's a trust in us. That comes not because you put anything there, but God put something in you to believe that inner and higher call of God, to trust in God as able to aid either in obtaining something or doing something. You believe that God can get for you what you don't have. You believe that God can do for you what you can't do. Hey, listen, you're going to have that pistuio, because when it comes time for your place to be filled at the marriage supper, you're going to need God to change your body. Isn't that right? You're going to need to have pistuio and a trust in God that, Lord, when all of this falls apart, when all of this goes down, when all of the wars spread farther than the Middle East, and when all the trouble radiates around the world, and you know what? Even if we don't see drones and bombs here, or chemical weapons in our country, how about if our economy got blown up? I mean, do you realize, I don't want to upset anybody here, but based on everything Brother Branham said, based on what the scriptures teach us, based on what a simple internet search will tell you, it's a very thin line between financial stability today and financial ruin. And no one's got the answer. No one has an answer for that problem. Just like no one has an answer for immigration. No one has an answer for a lot of the problems that exist in our world today. There are situations that exist in our world today that are not easily solved. They're not just, okay, we'll move this person here and that person there, and we'll have a meeting and everything will be solved. It doesn't always work that way. And one day, it's going to come to a place where there's just no more alternatives. There's no turning back. And I believe that the Bible tells us that we'll slide into a place called tribulation, and the world will find themselves there, and they'll look around, and the bride, by promise, the bride is gone. There's a handful of people that are gone. Those odd people who didn't have tattoos, and they didn't have earrings, and they turned their cell phones off in church. Because they were obedient people, and they loved the Lord more than what was on the phone, and they just had their focus was on God, their thoughts were on God, their amen was deep within them, and they just believed God no matter what. When they had losses, when they had failures, and when they had divorces, and when they had financial catastrophes, they still amened the word, A-M-A-N. They still believed the word. They still kept going. They still trusted God. They still put all of their weight on God's promise, not on their own ability to figure it out. And those people are gone. And I believe that we're coming to that place here. But the reason we'll get to that place is because of this pistuio. It's a conviction. It's the inner strength. It's the inner compass that we have that finds its way following God and believing God's word and his higher law and his higher ways. It'll not be because of what you do. It'll not be because of what you got figured out. It's not because you got all your debts paid, even though that's a nice thing. There is just something inside of us that, even though we're not trained scholars and trained theologians or anything else, we just have an intuitive sense that God's word is right. And you've been taught that right from the beginning. I've taught you that. Every minister who's ever come here has tried to teach us that our hope and our strength is not in ourselves, but it's in God. And that's exactly where we find ourselves. I mean, you go back and you look at in James chapter 2, it says that likewise, also was not Rahab justified by her works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way. I wrote this, James 2:25, holds her up as a proof that genuine amen produces an action. She had less revelation than anyone in Israel. Remember now, she's a prostitute. She's a harlot. And she's not somebody who goes to church a lot. And she had less revelation than probably anyone in Israel who every day looked up and saw a pillar of fire. And every day looked up and see a cloud that led them. And every day they were exposed to the supernatural. And yet her faith shamed that generation that had seen the Red Sea and still refused to believe because they died in the wilderness there. But Rahab says, I'm going to tie that red cord, that token, and dangle it out my window here. And the rest of the world must have looked at her and said, she's crazy. She's absolutely crazy. But somehow or another, she had found that rock and she jumped on it and said, I don't have any other hope. I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't have anything else to believe here. I don't have anyone else giving me hope. I'm going to put my hope in that particular promise. And she hung that out there. Glory to God. Brother Branham talks about it this way, and I want to leave you with this. He said, he's made a way for us. That ought to be contrary to a lot of the myths I talked about in the beginning, that I have to come up with the faith, and I have to be strong enough, and I have to have no doubts, and I have to have no fears, and I have to have no trembling inside of me when it comes to this idea of faith. Hey, listen, I might be standing on the scripture, I might be standing on the promises here, and I thank God for that. But I got family, and I got grandchildren, and I got you people. And I think, wow. You know, not that you worry. I never like to use the word, because the Bible tells us in Philippians 4 we should be careful for nothing, and that means worry. But you're concerned about the world that you live in, because you're affected by negativity and violence and antichrist thinking that abounds. And you have governments that go squirrely, and you have expectations for this and are dashed, and you have savings for this and it's dashed. And then it's a constant. We live in a world that's falling apart, right? And you can't help but feel the fact that it's falling apart. And you get older and your body's falling apart. And you get a little older and your hair starts to fall apart. Or starts to fall. But here's Brother Branham telling us he's made a way for us. Say that with me. He's made a way for us. Now everybody, he's made a way for us. Now, Brother Branham's made a way for us, but God's made a way for us. And if there was any healing power within myself, I come and do it. But healing power, I have none. No other man has healing power. We are commissioned from Christ to pray for the sick, who has already put on deposit healing power. God's already put it on deposit. It's already in the bank. And we're only coming, as it were, to write a check on that. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, that's the blank check. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do. What a promise. Just can't fail. Say that with me. Just can't fail. Say it again. Just can't fail. And I have helped my brothers and sisters around the world make these drawings on these notes in God's bank on the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the purpose of his preaching, the purpose of his ministry, the purpose of his gift is to help believers draw from the bank where God has already put the money in. It's accessible. It's yours. You have right. You have access to it. You have an ATM card that gets you in there, and you can draw out what you have need of. And I have need of healing. How many of you have a need of something in your life today? Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. How many of you would say if you had 5 minutes with God, you'd want to ask a couple of questions, because we all have questions. But leaving out, say one last thing. Do you mind if I ask you for this? And if God gave you the opportunity, ask me anything. Ask me any question. Ask me for anything and I'll do it. And you had 5 minutes with God. Most of us would have something we'd want to know, right? I know what you guys would want to know. What's for lunch? And Brother Branham said, it's been my ministry, he said, to go around the world. I've helped people to draw on the notes in God's bank, on the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's been very successful. He's always paid off because the deposit's already there. He was wounded for our transgression. See, it's all over. And we're happy tonight for your faith. So if your faith is to the place where you believe the promises are true, then here, let me pull off a check out of the checkbook and give it to you. It's already signed. Jesus Christ has already signed it with his own blood. It was already signed. So you know what you need to do? You need to do an amen to it, and you need to go ahead and go to the bank. And you need to get in the bank and say, this is a check that's made out in my name here, and I have a need of this money, and now the money is already there. I know it's there. And you can receive what you've written a check for. You don't amen it until you actually go to the bank. That's when you really believe it. Brother Bram says it again. God saves a man and gives him a whole big checkbook. Name of Jesus written at the bottom of the checkbook. Whatever you ask in my name. Abraham's seed believes that. Abraham's seed believes that. And I'm here to tell you that Abraham was the father of all of those who amen the word. Amen. Abraham is the father. He was the progenitor. He was the first of all of those that believe this way. And just fill out that check and send it. The deposit is already made. Not through your righteousness, but through the righteousness of the righteous royal seed of Jesus Christ. He was the one who put the deposit there. Sister Becky, would you come on to the altar? Musicians, just gently slide up here to the front here. Stay with me. He was the one that put the deposit in there. They won't be afraid to write the check. Then don't be afraid to write the check. Don't be afraid to write out that check. The bank of heaven will pay. It doesn't say Brother Barry will pay. It doesn't say HBT will pay. It doesn't say Jeffersonville's going to pay. It says the bank of heaven will pay off every check that's written against it. Hallelujah. The bank of heaven will write off every check. It'll fulfill every check. First thing it has to go through is the clearinghouse and see if you believe it or not. But if you believe it, it'll pass the clearinghouse. Don't worry about that. Money's already there. Check's already there. Check's already signed. You already have a need. You're already in the arena. You're already in the vicinity of approaching God if you got one of these checks here. But remember, a check that has nothing made out on it except a signature is no good for you. It will do you no good until you take it to the bank and clear it, right? And deposit it. The other day I was writing a check for Brother Sam over here. He did some great work for me, and I wrote him a check. And I forgot the amount, so I just signed my name on the bottom of the check and gave it to Sam. Sam immediately turned to his wife and said, "Honey, do you realize what I have in my hand?" And his face lit up. Her face lit up. Because, you know, they got a signed check from me. No amount, nothing, you know, not made out to anybody, right? And he's, you know, the wheels are turning. I can tell steam's coming out here. Sam's thinking, wow, I could do this and I could do something else. You know what? And I say that jokingly because that's exactly the response Brother Bram's trying to evoke in the believers. Abraham Said believes this, that if God gave you a check with his name on the bottom of it, go ahead. Use it for the thing that you have need of. We're not responsible how the rest of the world views all of this. We're not responsible for how the rest of the world interprets all of that. But we have a prophet telling us here, in the bottom paragraph, God promised so. We're heirs of salvation, joint heirs with him, heirs with Abraham, because we're Abraham's seed. We're not responsible for how the rest of the world believes this, because the rest of the world believes it. They have all kinds of twisted ideas about faith. But you find when Brother Branham talks about faith, he doesn't make it complicated. He doesn't make it, overly difficult. Not at all. He kind of places it right there on the hyssop level, which is what Brother Sven said. He just puts it right on that hyssop level. It's something within reach of every person who has a need. So it's not complicated. You can believe it. And all I want you to do this morning is just to practice your believing and just to say, Lord, if I'm a seed of Abraham and Abraham believed God and God put righteousness in his account, then, Lord, I want to be that kind of a believer. I just want to believe it, not because I understand it, not because I got it all figured out, and not because there's no storms, and not because there's no critics. I just want to believe it because it's your promise. And I'm going to stand on that rock in the middle of the river. That's where I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand on that solid bridge and not worry. I don't need a safety net. I don't need a what if. I'm not holding back. I'm not like a child who won't fully get in the arms of his parents. I heard a story about a brother whose wife died. And he was a young brother, and he had one small child. It was one small boy. And the boy couldn't understand really where mom was, but mom was gone. And he'd go to bed at night and put his son in the bed. And he said, right from the beginning, the son asked him questions. And he'd holler out and he'd say, "Dad, where's mom?" And he'd say, "Well, she's in heaven." And he'd tell him about it. And then next night he'd say, "When's mom coming back?" And he said, "Mom's not coming back in this world, in this life." And every night it went that way. And finally, one night, the boy asked him a question, and he didn't have an answer for it. He went out and got the boy, picked him up, put him in his bed. And he said, "I don't have an answer for you." He said, "I'm out of answers. I'm hurting too much. I don't have answers." And the boy said something amazing. He said, That's all right, Dad. He said, if you lay with your face to me, I'll be able to go to sleep. It'll be okay. But just lay with your face looking at me, and I'll be okay. And so he did, and the boy drifted off to sleep. The father, in turn, decided to do exactly the same thing. He said, Lord, in this season I'm going through, I don't have a good answer, and it hurts. But if you'll keep your face toward me, I'll be okay.
Amen.
I'll be okay. And that's how he got through that season of grieving. That's how he got through it. Because he knew. He had an understanding that God was not way off somewhere, but God was there. And he said, if I can close my eyes and just know you're looking at me. If I have my eyes open, I know you're looking at me. No matter what I go through, I know you're looking at me. He said, I'll be able to get through this. Let's stand to our feet. It's not in running, but in resting. Just an intellectual acknowledgement that the message is right. God is calling for more than just you simply put your hand up and say, yeah, I believe the Bible is true. God wants you to, we don't really amen it until we step on that rock. And we put one foot in front of the other. It's not reckless to put your faith in God. It's not reckless to put your whole faith in God. It's wisdom. To put your trust in God and let God bring His will to pass. Because God has a will for every one of us. And God has a journey to complete for every one of us in this last day. God still moves. Is that the same key there? Let's sing that this morning here. I didn't feel this until now, but maybe if there's someone who would like to have prayer this morning, we're certainly glad to pray with you here and join our hearts together. We'll have prayer for everybody in just a moment here, but if you have a need of prayer this morning, I'd be glad to take that time with you to pray. Let's just sing it now to Him.
Jeremy, God still moves. Oh, God still does
my name. He knows my every thought, and he sees each tear that falls, and hears me when I call. Healing is here. Again, I reach my hands, oh, and I reach my hands to the heaven. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. Unto you, my rock, my healer, I trust in you. And hand I reach my head to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. Unto you, my rock, my healer, trust in you. And I reach my hands. pieces of my life. Let me be used, Lord, by you. Consume me, Lord. Sing it, church. Oh, consume me, Lord, with the fire of your spirit.
Moment here, if you have a need in your life, I want you to reach out to Him now in faith, believing that God sees that need. Our Heavenly Father, our hearts are bowed before You and hands are raised, Lord. And I know, Lord Jesus, that there's not a thing in the world that goes on in our lives that You don't know about. And even though our understanding is limited, Your ways are higher than our ways. So You see things we don't see, and You understand things that we don't understand about events in our lives. Lord God, we're simply asking that You would turn Your face towards us, and Lord, just show Your presence alive and near in a special and a personal way. Because Lord, whenever You come near, good things happen. And whenever, Lord, you draw near, healing can take place. And so may we submit ourselves to You, Lord, in faith. And may we just trust You, Lord, with a renewed trust. Maybe we like Abraham, who just knew that he knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that what You said to him was true, was going to come to pass. And he believed it, Lord. And he became the father of the faithful. He became the father of those that trusted You when there was nothing obvious that supported his claim of faith. May, Lord, that happen to us. And may, Lord, You just move now among this assembly. Lord, minister to our hearts. And I pray that You'd bring healing and comfort to those who need it. We love You. We ask forgiveness of anything that might hinder the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We think of the people who are listening today, Lord, online, and those who are reaching out to you even now. We commit them into your hands, Lord, and the many requests, the many folks that are away today, we commit them to you. And we pray, Lord, not because we're worthy, not because we deserve any of this. It isn't fair. It's grace. It's just your grace, Lord, that has allowed us to be in this position. And Lord, we want to take the steps of faith that accompany such grace. So have your way, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' lovely name, we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross you bore. Thank you for the blood he shed. Let's sing it this morning here before we go.
Thank you for the cross, oh Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame.
Miss you this morning and let you go. May God bless you and thank you for being here today. I want you to remember Brother John Harwell. He came this morning to church. They were out in the fellowship hall and Brother John got sick suddenly there, so he's not here in the building. So we just want to remember him as well. A lot of folks that are traveling and out today. So singing as you go this morning. We'll see you on Wednesday. God bless you. Thank you for the cross, O Lord.
Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. How we thank you for this love, oh Lord, and we thank you.
treasure. God bless you, saints. As we sing this song, through it all, you may be dismissed.